sacrifice. When one uses the term sacrifice, if he has a Bible background, immediately he thinks of the thousands of offerings that were presented to the Lord and slain in the tabernacle and then in the temple ritual. Death is connected with sacrifice. The animal was brought, was bound, was slaughtered, was consumed on the altar. These ritual sacrifices were, of course, illustrations and types of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He too was brought out of his environment into alien surroundings. He too was bound. He too was slaughtered and his lifeblood poured out. Jesus died. He laid down his life. And he used an expression, perhaps it was a proverb in his time, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus actually laid down his life for his enemies. And this week we are going to think about sacrifice in its various aspects. What is a sacrifice? Again, let us look to Jesus. The key text for this section 1 quotes a statement he made when he came into this world, "I come to do thy will, O God." This indicates complete self-surrender. Christ's will was laid aside. The Father's will took possession of him. So sacrifice, according to this picture, is yielding completely. This is an attitude of mind of complete denial of one's desires and whims and ambitions. If one's attitude is correct, sacrificial, then life, body, abilities, possessions, time are all regarded as belonging to God. Sacrifice, offerings, offering for sins, these were all illustrations of the fact that in his body Christ yielded everything to his Father's will. Part number 2 stresses that this sacrifice must be a living attitude. The sacrifices in the temple died. Their surrender was once. But a living sacrifice has got to keep up this self-surrender, moment by moment, day by day, as long as life shall last. An illustration is taken from the experience of Abraham and Isaac. God commanded Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him up as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham believed. Patriarchs and Prophets informs us that on the Mount Moriah, after Abraham had explained to his son what God required, Isaac, who was 1/6 Abraham's age, could have jumped out of his father's reach and his father would never have caught him. But instead, Isaac helped the trembling fingers of his father Abraham to tie the knots that bound him to the altar. His was a complete surrender to God's will as revealed through the Father. Both Abraham and Isaac made sacrifices. In Romans 12:1, Paul urges that we should present our bodies, just as Isaac did, voluntarily, willingly, our reasonable service, as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice that withholds nothing to carry out the divine purpose as is revealed to us. Part number 3, in order to do this, self must be denied and must be denied every moment of every day. Self is always clamoring for personal advantage. If there is a place near the fire, we want to get as close to it as possible. If the weather is cold. When we go to a potluck, self chooses the tasty morsels. Jesus Christ defines what self-denial should be. It is the daily taking up of the cross. and the cross is the instrument of death. We choose this kind of dying. Outwardly we may be appearing to be righteous. But what sort of inward attitude do we have? Those who bring self into their schemes and desires cannot actually be trusted. They're not interested in anyone else. They're only interested in themselves. And they bend everything to carry out their divine will. And we who live today are living in the last days. We should be all the more zealous, all the more ready to lay down our lives and to do what we know is right in order to hasten the day when Jesus shall come. Part number 4, practical applications. This week's thought is illustrated by the well-known story of the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. In fact, he came running to Jesus. He fell down before him, indicating his reverence and homage. He acknowledged him as a good master. And Jesus asked him, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good God." In other words, Christ was testing him. "If after what I tell you," Christ said in effect, "you still call me good, you must acknowledge me as God. What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said to him, "If you will be perfect, fully mature for yourself, if you will develop to all that you should be right now, sell. Sell what you have and give." This man may have been buying up companies, buying up produce, buying up property, and keeping. Jesus says, reverse the tendency of your life. Instead of buying and hoarding, sell and give. And this selling and giving will exercise the opposite trait of selfishness. It will encourage sacrifice. Self-denial must be practiced. I was struck by the statement, "Preachers must sharpen their message, not merely assailing self-indulgence and pride in dress, but presenting Jesus, his life of self-denial and self-sacrifice." We must make this part of the two-edged sword of the word cut out the cancerous growth of selfishness in the human heart. Sell and give. Instead of buying, 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 and hoarding. Part number 5 urges the thought home to our hearts that the time to do this is now. And the promise is, everyone that forsakes his house, walks away from his home, his brethren, his sisters, his children, or lands, because of God, because of his love for Jesus Christ, will receive 100-fold in this life and shall inherit everlasting life. It's a very interesting thought. How can we get 100-fold? Well, a man who is really trying to serve somebody else, who goes from door to door and family to family, multiplies his circles of friends, his brethren, his sisters. The older ones he can regard as his father and mother or grandfather or grandmother. And the friends he makes he can regard as children. And the hospitality he gains in 1,000 different ways, multiplied what he already had before. Now is the time to do this, because as the second text in this section underlines, the day is coming when the economic boycott in this world will not make money of any value whatever. In fact, we will not even be able to buy or sell unless we have the mark of the beast. Part number 6, nothing must be withheld. Paul, writing concerning the believers in Macedonia, said, "They first gave their own selves to the Lord." And then, of course, everything followed in its train. In the ultimate sacrifices, a man will lay down his life. That is, he will spend his life thinking, praying, devising methods and plans to utilize his talents and his means to be a blessing to others as Jesus was. He will not think of his comfort. He will not think of his ambition. He knows that he is part of a continuum that is about to reach its climax in these last days, and so will sacrifice and work to hasten the coming of Christ. As we think of this section entitled Sacrifice this week, let us ask ourselves, where in my program, in my living, am I actually sacrificing anything? I may spend some time, I may give some of my means, but am I actually sacrificing? And let us by prayer and study seek to discover some area where we may indeed sacrifice for Christ.